Hello again, everyone. Mike Penna with the Horse Racing Radio Network. Happy to have you with me for a very special interview here today. Jockey Ramon Dominguez has ridden nearly 5,000 winners in a career that's going to culminate with him being inducted into the Hall of Fame in Saratoga Springs in just 48 hours. And it's great to have Ramon with us here today on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Appreciate the time, my friend.
Thank you for the time as well and the opportunity to speak.
Ramon, we are sitting here in the Humphrey S. Finney Sales Pavilion. This is exactly where the induction is going to take place 2 days from today. Look around for a minute. Take a moment. What goes through your mind?
So much. I mean, it's beautiful. I have been here once before, but of course I'm looking at it from a different perspective this time, and so looking forward to the day. It's an absolutely beautiful place.
Shoemaker, Pinkeye, Longdon, Day, McCarran, and now Dominguez. Growing up in Venezuela, as a kid, could you ever imagine that your career would end up here?
Never did. And actually, even throughout my whole trajectory here in the U.S. riding, it really never crossed my mind about the Hall of Fame. In one hand, it was because I was usually focused on the day, what I had to do. But even as a dreamer, which I am a dreamer, I never really thought about the Hall of Fame.
Where did the dream start for Ramon? Tell me about the day you first sat on a horse.
The first day I sat on a horse, actually a race horse, it was at a training center. After I did 1 year of show jumping, and I decided to go into a training center, and it was a magical moment. I remember the feeling of power, having this amazing animal underneath of me, and it's something that we'll never forget.
When did you finally come to the realization that, hey, this is what I want to do for a living? I want to be a jockey.
Yeah, way, way before I sat on a horse. It was years before. I was roughly 13 years old, and my dad, who worked for the racetrack, outside the track, he had a off-track betting facility, and he had to physically take this machine that people will gamble through to the track, and I watched a live race, and I knew from that moment that that's what I was going to do. I would become a jockey.
Turned out to be a pretty good decision, my friend.
It was. No regrets at all. And really, regardless of my accomplishments, whether I won a lot of races or none, the thrill of being on a horseback, that was already a huge accomplishment.
Tell me about some of the people that have helped you reach this goal and get to this point. I know you don't have your speech finished yet, but tell me about some of the people that come to mind when you think about everything you accomplished.
So many, of course, people that perhaps were not directly involved with racing. My family, they have been amazing. I come from the best family in the world when it comes to support, when it comes to a great foundation, and that has been instrumental. And again, when I think back from the racing aspect, the agent who gave me the opportunity for the first time in Venezuela, he was somebody in a position to take any rider. And I came out of a promotion where there was like 50 jockeys, and most of them had way more ability or more experience than I did. And yet he chose me. So he gave me an opportunity that perhaps I wasn't deserving of at the time, but he saw beyond just me, an experienced rider, and I'm very thankful for that.
Did that fuel you and maybe make you work a little bit harder, knowing that, hey, you know what, I have a gift here. Somebody gave me a gift.
I was very appreciative, and I didn't underestimate the fact that, hey, this was a big deal, that although he had an ability to choose anybody because he was known as the top agent developing new riders, he chose me. Again, I didn't take that for granted. At the same time, I wasn't focusing too much on the fact that he chose me, but I was really focused on continuing to develop my skills and learning as much as I could.
When you first came to the United States, were there some challenges with making that move from Venezuela to the States?
Yeah, there were many challenges. The biggest one was leaving my family. That was one of the toughest things that I ever had to go through in my life, because I come from a very tight family. And although I was coming here with a great goal and a big dream, and they were extremely happy for me because they knew that I was following my passion, at the same time, it's not easy when you are still a kid and coming here with a high level of uncertainty. And the English language, it was a big barrier because I didn't know any English. And but instead of really seeing them as a challenge, I really made a big emphasis on learning and moving forward, and also on the beautiful things that this country had to offer.
Your fellow Hall of Famer John Velasquez told me that he learned English when he came to the United States by watching The Little Mermaid. How about you? How'd you learn?
I was in a hotel room for a couple months while still waiting for all the documents to be in place for me to start writing. And although it was very tempting to watch TV in Spanish, especially being in Miami where every other channel is Spanish, I chose to watch English, although I didn't understand much, but it was 2 months watching English television, cartoons, and different shows, but yeah.
What would you consider to be your first really big break that got you started when you came to the United States?
There were so many that it's really hard to think of one, and many of them that I probably didn't feel in the moment as if they were a big deal, but they were a stepping stone to lead me to the better horse or the better race where perhaps I got more recognition. Of course, the one big moment for me, it was winning my first Breeders' Cup with Better Talk Now. That was something that it is any jockey's goal to win their first Breeders' Cup, and that was a big deal, and I know that helped me tremendously as far as getting my name out there.
What do you remember about that race? Take me through the race a little bit.
It was a race that it set up great because we had great position, but I will never forget my feelings going to the half a mile when the favorite decided to make a run, an early run on the outside, and the people who were in front of decided to really not to give up their position, and they went on. I was at a place where I could see this, yet I had the ability to decide whether I wanted to jump on the wagon with them or not, because I was in a pretty good position. And as they were moving forward, I was actually taking a hold and smiling and saying, oh gosh, this is beautiful. Still, you don't know what is going to happen next, but at the moment I felt very, very happy with my chances. And sure enough, turning for home, of course, there was a moment of controversy where there was a combination of horse coming out and we squeezed barely somebody. But at the end of the day, I really held my ground and the horse ended up winning. And wow, overwhelming flow emotions at the time, realizing I just won my first Breeders' Cup race.
Better Talk Now is a horse that's always going to hold that special place in your heart. Tell me about a couple of the others that you're just never going to forget.
So many of them, of course, being here in Saratoga, Howard the Grace, winning the Woodward against the Colts, and Gio Ponti. How can I forget Gio Ponti? What an amazing and consistent animal. And I have been asked this question in a few different interviews, and there is a horse that will never escape my mind, and I will always have the greatest memories. And it's a sprinter that, again, most sprinters don't get the recognition because there are not so many great sprint races. However, this was an special animal. I felt things being on his back that I never experienced in my years of riding. And that was fabulous strike. His trainer, Tobetti, did a great job with this horse, keeping him together and bringing him to the races, always on top form. But this horse had the ability to go extremely fast, be challenged, lead the competition, regroup, and re-break like he was coming out of the starting gate, something that I'd never seen before. And just a running machine.
People are going to watch this interview. They're going to listen to it here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and they're going to look at you and say, wow, he's a young guy, he's fit, he looks like he could get on a horse and ride right now. Of course, as we know, in 2013, it wasn't really your decision to stop riding. you suffered an injury, you made that decision to not come back to the saddle and officially retire. Tell me about making that decision. How difficult was it?
Yeah, it was a decision that was made really for me, given the advice of my doctors, who said that if I want to see my family again, I cannot do this again due to the degree of my injury. And so in that sense, that was as easy as one can imagine, given the situation. However, you do have to go through a grieving period where you, although again, I had to go back to my family. I come from an amazing family where, since I was a kid, they told me about really who we are. We are not what we accomplish in life. We are not the money that we may have or the material things. Despite all that, and that was very, very helpful, but despite all that, one can help to feel identified with what they did, what they love as their profession, and in my case, it's no different. I can help to feel like the writing aspect was a part of me that was being lost. Now, I also have the best wife in the world, and her support has been incredible. So, looking back, is something this moment or this period of time when I went through this difficult time is something that it was not only unavoidable, but it was also necessary for me to be able to turn the page. And I have turned the page in a great way. I'm extremely happy with what's happening in my life right now and very much looking forward to the future.
You still miss riding?
I do, and I will always miss riding. It's something that many aspects of riding a race, preparing for a race, I don't think that anything else will replace that, and that's okay. But I still have amazing memories that I will cherish forever.
How do you view your role in the sport now? Now that you're retired, now that you're going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, how do you view Ramon Dominguez in the sport of thoroughbred racing?
I'm still discovering that, and I love being in a position where, whether it is my peers, you know, some of them look up to me, maybe not so much for my accomplishment, but because of the relationship we had. And I know there is a lot that I can give to this sport that has given so much to me. And I'm open to really do anything I can for this beautiful sport. I love the fact that I can educate people about the reality and the beauty about this sport. And the sky is the limit as far as my position and what I can do and how I can contribute and continue to be part of this.
You're wearing a PDJF hat, Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. That's the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network. We love to do as much as we can to help disabled riders. You're involved with a promotion through ExpressBet that's helping disabled riders right now, where ExpressBet is giving away it's a sweepstakes to get a chance to win 100 Ramon Dominguez signed posters. And they're going to give those away on August 21st. And all benefiting, of course, PDJF through ExpressBet. And that has to make you feel pretty good.
It makes me feel great. I mean, the PDF is an organization or foundation that is extremely close to my heart. And it's something that hasn't evolved. Or that's not something that has emerged from my accident. It has perhaps been intensified since my accident, understanding what some of these riders go through. But even before that, both my wife and I have always been very passionate and devoted about helping and educating people and bringing to awareness the reality and how these young riders need help. And I'm very thankful for ExpressBet. They have always been a big supporter of the PDEF. And thank you as well for being the sponsor of the PDEF. And it's an organization that really does incredible things for our human athletes, and I'm always there to support anytime I can.
Nobody's ever asked me to sign one autograph, let alone 100. Do you get a little writer's cramp when you're signing 100 posters?
Not at all. And it's the same thing when leading to a big race, whether it was any of the Triple Crown races, they will bring sometimes 200 or more weather programs that the jockeys need to sign. And I will never forget one day someone, we were, I think, riding at the Preakness, and someone came and said to Pat Day, "Gosh, don't you guys tired of signing some?" And he said, "I'm very fortunate to be in the position to do this." And that's something that we'll never forget, because guess what? You don't have to be in that position, and it is really a privilege to be able to sign those.
I know this is a very busy week for you, and I know that after the Hall of Fame, things will start to maybe slow down just a little bit for you. When Ramon Dominguez gets a few minutes to be alone and to think, what are you most proud of when you look back on your career?
I'm, of course, proud of the different things that I was able to accomplish when it comes to races and different style that I was able to create throughout my mistakes. And the connection with the horse is something that I'm very proud of, because I feel like I was able to connect at a very high level, something that I enjoy talking to people who understand that, because that in itself is very, very fascinating. But I'm also very thankful and proud of the relationships that I have created throughout my racing career, which to me, they are priceless. I mean, great friends that they will be family forever.
Ramon, you're a class act, and everybody that knows Ramon Dominguez describes him as not only a great rider, but a better human being. And I think that's a tremendous compliment. And I think people watching this video and listening to this interview are going to realize that. And I can't thank you enough for taking the time, my friend. Congratulations, Hall of Famer.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.